pleasure with other
people. Amen.
Knows exactly what I feel and what I know.
Amen.
I just want to praise his name. He deserves it so, all of it. I just can't lift my hands and praise him enough this morning.
Amen. God bless. Amen.
As a little child, I think about that lady that had the issue of blood, and she thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I think about how it would be to just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. What a great blessing that would be. I didn't get to do that. One day, by faith, I touched him. And he placed a love in my heart that has been there ever since. There's been a lot of failures. There's been a lot of trials and troubles along the way. But that's always been there. And I'm so thankful that I know the Lord and that I learned about him as a little child. That's a great blessing to be able to bring your children up and hear about the love that Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God bless. There was long ago, and it's been, it's really been a matter of differing opinions concerning the book of Job as to chronologically where it fits in. Some believe it to be the oldest or one of the oldest books of the Bible. You know, I'm really not sure. I know that everything that we have in our Bible is not always in proper chronological order. But there was a man named Job that lived a long time before Jesus came into the world. Even thousands of years before Jesus came into the world, most likely. But he made a statement, Job made a statement, long before Jesus was born, and I'm convinced that he made this statement speaking directly about Jesus. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And I don't, as I said earlier, and as Brother Wheat echoed, I didn't see Jesus when he was here in the flesh, but I know he was here. I know that he was here. And I don't want to stand before you today and just tell you that I believe that he was here. I know that he was here. And I know that he lives today. And, you know, people can... I wish that, you know, many people would stop saying some of the stuff they say about him, but whatever they say or whatever they convince themselves of or whatever they choose to believe about Jesus, you know, some just choose to believe that he never even existed. Some choose to believe he still doesn't exist today. Some choose to believe that Jesus was here, but that he was just a prophet, or that he was just a good man or just a good teacher. But whatever they believe about him, they're not going to sway me. Amen. Because he touched me one day, and I know that he's real. I know that the Lord Jesus is real. And he lived here. You know, if you look today, if you would just turn your head for a moment and look today at the person sitting next to you, Jesus lived here, and he was a human just like the person that you just looked at. He was a human. Now, there was a difference. There was a difference between him and us, and that being that he did not have an earthly father. He was the Son of God. But his physical appearance, his makeup, he was a man. He was a human being, just like we see each other today. He came here. He walked. He talked. He ate. He slept. He prayed. He felt fatigue. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. Anybody ever been sad? Raise your hand if you've been sad sometime in your life. The Lord felt sadness. In fact, not only did he feel sorrow, Isaiah said that he was a man of sorrows. He said that he was acquainted with grief. He knew it well. Jesus died. And that's what I really wanted to speak about today. Many of you here, like me, have witnessed death. If you haven't actually been there next to somebody and seen them physically die, yet you still witness death. You've attended memorial services. You've seen their lifeless body laid in a coffin. We are acquainted with death. Well, Jesus came to the world and he lived and he died. I'm telling you, he died like people are still dying today. Jesus died the same death. The same thing happened to him in death that will one day happen to you and I. His body and his spirit separated, and he died. The thing concerning the death of Jesus, though, that is so unique is that the Bible teaches us very plainly the purpose for which he died. And if we look in the fifth chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the thought that I wanted us to focus on today. Not only that Christ died. But what Paul said here in his writing to the Romans, Christ died for us. He came to the world. He was born into the world for the purpose of dying. He came to die. He came here to be a sacrifice. He came here, and I'm persuaded that Jesus came to earth knowing what he would face. He came here well aware of the cross of Calvary. He came here well aware of the crown of thorns. He came here well aware of the scourging and the mockery and people slapping him and spitting on him. Jesus knew what he was going to face in this world. I'm persuaded that he knew it in eternity. Before the world was ever formed, that he knew what he would have to face here at the hands of wicked and sinful men. You know, you can find in the scriptures where the Lord was telling his disciples. He was telling them. You can read, I believe it's the 16th or 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And you can read where Jesus had a conversation with the Apostle Peter, and he told him before the time had ever come, he told him the Son of Man must go and he must be killed, he must be crucified by and at the hands of sinful men, of wicked men. He knew what he was facing. Before it ever came that time, he knew what he was going to have to do. When Jesus, and you know, this is something that I believe is always important for us to remember, and I believe especially for us to reflect upon when we are going to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. When Jesus was going through these things, when he was going through this suffering, when he was going through the crown of thorns being placed upon his head and being scourged and being beaten and hit with rods and everything that the Lord was going through, he was facing all of this without ever one time taking advantage at all of the fact that he was Christ. He suffered all of those things as a man. He did not use the fact that he was the Son of God. He did not use his deity or his power. Never one time did the Lord use his ability or his power to give himself an advantage. Never. If you study the life of Jesus Christ, every time that he used his power, every time that he did the things that he was able to do because that he was God, it was always done for the benefit of somebody else, never for himself. When they came to the garden, and, you know, if you could just think about this for a moment, given the fact that Jesus was human and you and I are human. When they came to the garden and they were coming to arrest him and to take him to suffer these things, they came and they inquired, who he was. Which one that he was, and the Lord said, I'm him. It's me. I'm the one. I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you're looking for. Brother Bryson told me one time when he was privileged to make the trip to the Holy Lands, He told me one time that he never realized it until he saw the geography and he saw the layout of the land. But he told me the place where the Lord was standing, when the Bible talks about that they were coming to get him with the torches and with the lanterns, he said the place where they were coming from and the place where Jesus was standing, if he would have chosen to, he could have seen them coming with the torches and lanterns in plenty of time to have just been gone. He could have been gone, but he stayed there and he waited for that angry crowd to come and to arrest him and to take him away, because Jesus knew what he had to do. Now that was a couple of thousand years ago that happened. And I already told you that I never saw the Lord Jesus in the flesh. And he had already done this. And he had already made the atonement. He had already offered himself as a sacrifice long before I came into the world. But I'll guarantee you that when he was going through all of that, he knew about me. And he knew about you. He knew about each one of us. He was able to look through time. You know, the Bible says that that's the way that he endured the cross and despised the shame, by being able to look to the joy that was set before him, knowing what his sacrifice would do, knowing what his death would bring about, knowing that there would be people throughout the ages that would be able to be saved and have eternal life because of the sacrifice that he made. But folks, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, there that day on the cross of Calvary, he died like a man. He died as a man. The Bible tells us that in the 19th chapter of John, the Bible tells us that the Sabbath day was drawing nigh, and they didn't want those men that had been crucified, Jesus and the two thieves, they didn't want them to stay on the cross because the Sabbath day was coming. So they sent the soldiers out there to break their legs. And when they got there, they didn't have to break the legs of the Lord, because the Bible says that he was dead already. I'm telling you, he died. He died. In the Philippian letter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. The Apostle Paul tells us there that he humbled himself and that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus died on that cross. He died. He gave up the ghost. His spirit and his body separated. That's what's going to happen, in case you don't know that. That's what's going to happen to you one day. That's what death is. Your body and your spirit separate from each other. That's death. That's death in its truest meaning. He yielded up the ghost, the scriptures say. He gave up the ghost, the scriptures say. And he died. The Hebrew letter in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God, what's that tell you? That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. You know, one of these days when you get ready to die, Your body may, I don't know what's going to happen to you individually. I've seen people die in different ways, but you know, your body may be hurting and there may be things happening that you'll need God's grace to be able to go through it. And so you'll call out to God and beg Him for His grace. And the Bible says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, He used the grace of His Heavenly Father, didn't He? That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He prayed. Jesus, when He was facing the things that He faced, was going to face, He got down there on His knees there at Gethsemane, and He began to pray. Have you ever prayed that God would help you with something? Have you ever prayed that God might even take away something that you were experiencing? Have you ever prayed that God might take away your pain or something that you were going through? Jesus got down on His knees there and He began to pray to His Heavenly Father. And He said, "Oh God, oh Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." You know, what we need to see today is we need to see the Lord. Before we observe this ordinance today, we need to see the Lord there as a man, praying, sweating, agonizing. His sweat as great drops of blood falling to the ground, and Him praying, "God, Father, if there is any other way, don't make me go through this. Don't make me face this if there's any other way." But you know, there wasn't, was there? There just wasn't any other way. And so He reached the point and He resolved, "Not my will, but Your will be done." And they came and got Him, and He went to Calvary, and He gave His life there for you and for me, a ransom for our sins. Jesus Christ died for us. He died for us. Now He knew that He was going to die. And so before He did, He had already established His church in the world. And He knew that He was going to die. And so before He did, He brought them together and He said, and He took this bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "Take this and eat it. It's My body, which is broken for you." And there was wine there, and He took that cup, and He gave thanks. And He said, "Drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you." And He instructed them to do this as a perpetual ordinance, to do this as a way of remembering Him. Isn't it something? I mean, brethren, boy, when we approach this table, that's something, isn't it? I mean, we are doing something here today, church, that the Lord Himself established with His church while He was here. He didn't send word back from heaven after He ascended. While He was here, He set this ordinance up with them. And he said, when I'm gone, however long that I'm gone, you keep this. You keep this. You observe it. You come together periodically and you do this. You break the bread. You take the bread and you take the cup and you receive it to show, to do rather, in remembrance of me. This is how, through this ordinance, this is a way that we remember what he did for us, that he died for us, that he died for us so that we could be saved. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, he made it very clear what this ordinance does, what it accomplishes. He told the church at Corinth, he said, as often as we do this, as often as we observe this, that we will show the Lord's death until he comes. We will show his death until he comes. So as we observe this ordinance here today, we will show again today that the Lord died for us on the cross of Calvary. And we will show his death one more time. And I'm persuaded that somewhere, I don't know what it might be like. I'd like to think that it'll still be happening right here. But I know that somewhere on earth, when the Lord comes, there will still be people that are observing this ordinance and showing his death. We will show it, his church will show his death through this ordinance until he comes. Until he comes. So I want to ask the brethren, if they would, to prepare the table as we observe the ordinance. Ask all the members of the church, if you would, to please stand. Again, the scriptures tell us that the Lord had met with his disciples to observe the ordinance of the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And I'm going to ask Brother Dallas if he would bless the bread.
Father, that he had the capability of looking down through centuries of time and seeing the needs that lost people would have. Even, dear God, he could see that one day I would stand in need of a Savior. Father, as was stated already, he suffered the death of that old, cruel, rugged cross because of the joy that was set before him. Father, we are so thankful that that joy outweighs the suffering and the shame that he suffered in being rejected by his own people. Father, we thank you, dear God, for the church that he set up during his own personal ministry.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for the ordinances that he left with it. And we pray, dear God, that we, as God's people meeting here at Fairview Memorial, might be mindful, dear God, of the obligations that we have to examine ourselves as we partake of this bread today and this cup. Father, we ask that you would help us to inspect our own lives, that, oh God, we might live just a little bit closer to you day by day. Father, if there be any here today that know you not in a free part of the
God, have mercy.
Pray, dear God, that they will come to realize that Jesus died for their sins. Father, he made a way for them to come back to God. And we pray, Father, that somewhere they'll make an altar and reach out to him. Father, help us to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. Give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to do those things that would be right in your sight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. After that, the Lord had blessed the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. He said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body." After that, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. Brother Ronnie Sanford, would you please give thanks? Yes. After that he had blessed the cup, he gave it to his disciples. Jesus said to them, drink ye all of it. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And the Lord told them that he would not drink of it until he drank it new with them again in his Father's kingdom. The scriptures tell us that after that, that they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives.
There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar. For our Father. To prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Fun.
Hey,
can you start? I would really like for you to sing at church sometime. Okay, you start working, practicing on something, and please. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, Emma.